Hi, good vach. This is Yisachar Wartell, and this is Parshat Pinchas. Hope everybody's staying cool. Not sure where you are, but unless you're in the southern hemisphere, most places are pretty hot right now. Anyway, so definitely remember to stay hydrated, and also keep in mind, obviously, anything we need to regarding the 3 weeks, which of course we're moving through, which on one hand we don't want to make time go too fast, on the other hand we want to go quickly. Anyway, so let's talk about Parshat Pinchas. Just before you begin, once again mention our shiur is mentioned in loving memory of Sarah Balaba Menachem Mendel. So there's more to Pinchas than meets the eye, and that's putting aside the whole slew of karbanos that are mentioned at the end of the Parsha. But regarding the story of Pinchas, Chazal seem to teach that Pinchas was destined to ultimately become Eliyahu HaNavi. So for those who weren't aware, we're not getting into the whole concept of Gilgulim right now and reincarnations, but there's a lot explained, and it's pretty well understood that Pinchas and Eliyahu HaNavi were one in the same, Elijah the prophet and Pinchas. Now, most hold that this occurred through reincarnation rather than them actually being the same person, but the connect between them is apparently pretty solid in our tradition. Now, both the Sfas Emes and the Tivat Shalom mention this connection as part of the gift of Shalom actually being given to Pinchas, although they differ to a reasonable degree in their approach. Now, the Sfas Emes writes that Pinchas was an embodiment of din, strict judgment. He was from the tribe of Levi, and Levium were known for being fastidious and being zealous to uphold Kavod Hashem, such as by the golden calf. Now, the Sfas Emes explains that the Shalom given to Pinchas was really Shlemus, because Shalom, meaning peace, comes from the root shalem, which means whole or complete. Although the simple explanation is that Hashem guaranteed peace to Pinchas in the sense that no one would pursue him as revenge for killing Zimri ben Salu, the Sfas Emes actually has a very different approach. Being a man of din, Hashem completed Pinchas by giving him the kahuna, the priesthood, which has the attribute with it of chesed, mercy or kindness, which we certainly see by Aaron HaKohen. Now chesed, and certainly the act of shalom, we certainly see by Aaron HaKohen. Now chesed and din, or alternatively gevura, are opposites that harmonize and strike a balance in what's known as the sphera or mystical emanation of tiferet, which either means splendor or balance. Now our sages teach that among our forefathers, Avram was keneged, or his essence was related to chesed, loving kindness. Yitzchak's essence was gevura, or din, which is like strictness. And Yaakov's essence was tiferet, which is the balance between the two. Yaakov is also connected to the concept of Shalom. Interestingly enough, we're not getting into that now. Now, Pinchas, on one level, was akin to Yitzchak through his zealous nature, and that's apparent in Pinchas' name, which Sfas Emes points out is equal to 208, which is the same numerically as Yud Tzadi Chet Kuf, or Yitzchak. However, when Pinchas is spelled as Pinchas with a Yud, the way it is at the beginning of this week's Parsha, that's when it's 208. Without the Yud, that's 198. That's a whole nother conversation, why we include it sometimes, why not, has to do with the completion, the spirituality, the yod, etc. Again, not getting into it now, but something to think about. Pinchas became perfectly balanced when he had this bris of shalom, and therefore merited to become Eliyahu, who would achieve a perfect mortal state and ultimately become a malach, an angel, although to some extent that was also a punishment, which is a whole other topic to be discussed another time. And I'm very, very abbreviatedly discussing this. There's so much more to talk about on like probably all of the points that I've mentioned. So feel free to look into that. There are many, many different reflections to talk about it. Probably just even a Google search can get you some, but make sure the sources are more reliable than others. Or just ask a Rav or a friend who might know. The Me'eshu Loach, among others, likely including the Zohar, mentions that Pinchas himself was actually also a reincarnation of Yosef, which is something that's also well agreed upon. Now this fits with the Sfas Emes' additional explanation that Pinchas was like Yaakov and Yosef, who were both called by the Torah as Shalem, they're called complete. Now the Sfas Emes explains that Yosef made peace with his brothers after the passing of their father Yaakov. However, our mystical teachings inform us that Yosef, unlike Yaakov, who was Tiferet, which is the balance of Gvura and Chesed, right, the kindness and judgment, Yosef was the balance of Hod, which means glory or splendor, and Netzach, which means, for lack of a better term, dominance. And the balance between those two is known as Yesod, which is the sixth of the lower spherot or mystical emanations. So Yosef was also a balance, although a different kind of balance than Yaakov was. But he was a personality of somebody who was able to balance things, and therefore, in a sense, he was also complete because he was able to balance things. And when you can balance both sides perfectly, then in a certain sense, you're complete or at least whole to some regard. Now, Pinchas was specifically the reincarnation of Yosef rather than Yaakov, and therefore it's interesting to note that the biblical figures that Jewish mysticism represent, Netzach and Hod, are actually Moshe and Aaron. We'll take a step back for a second. Pinchas was a reincarnation of Yosef. Yosef was akin to the spiritual manifestation or sphera of Yesod, which was a balance between Netzach and Hod, which were represented by Moshe and Aaron. Aaron had just passed away, and Moshe was in his last year, and that was time for the reincarnation of their balanced spherot to rise, so to speak. Now, further explanation still to be developed. But the connections between Pinchas and Yosef actually run extremely deep, and much deeper than at first would seem. Shimon was the brother primarily responsible for the plot to kill Yosef that ultimately led to him being sold down to Mitzrayim, and that was Shimon's descendant Zimri who Pinchas had to kill through his actions. Zimri's act was a display of ultimate promiscuity, and the Me'ah Shiloach explains that it could only be the soul of one who overcame the obstacle of licentiousness, as we see by Yosef resisting the temptation of Potiphar's wife, that only he or his descendant would have the right to remove from this world one who indulged in promiscuity. Now, additionally, Pinchas and Yosef share two letters in their names, namely Pei and Sanach, right? And in this case, we're not including the Yud. Again, topic to be discussed later. Right, so Pei Nun Chet Samech, Yud Vav Samech Pei, they both have a Pei and a Samech. Yosef was sold and almost killed due to the animosity that partially arose from the kinna, the jealousy that the brothers had for receiving favoritism by Yaakov, and symbolized by the ketonet Pasim. Now, if you notice, Pasim, which literally means stripes, and referred to the striped or technicolor coat that Yosef had, the letters Pasim comes from the word Pas, which means stripe, Pei Samech. Right? Pei Samech is the same two letters that Yosef and Pinchas have in common. This cloak with many colorful pots was the subject of jealousy, and this was the biggest instigator of the jealousy amongst the brothers. However, it's interesting that the word kinna means both jealousy and zealotry, and it comes up in many times in this parsha in reference to Pinchas' actions. And now here, it doesn't mean, it's interesting that before, by Yosef, kinna meant jealousy. Here, kinna means zealotry. Right, he put this jealousy to rest once and for all by converting it to zeal, to zealotry. And he put the nach, the rest, he put it to rest, right? He quelled it, this bickering, this arguing, this fervor of not listening to Moshe and doing whatever you want to do. He put it to rest, right? He added nach, right? Nunchet. He added nach to the pas, to this concept of this jealousy and zealotry. He added some rest to it. And then when you put the letters nun and chet into the letters Pei and Samech, you get Pei, Nunchet, and then Samech, which spells Pinchas, lo and behold. However, things are not always what they seem. Say it again. Yosef had the Pei Samech in his name, but it was actually inverted, right? Samech Pei. The brothers thought they were putting an end to Yosef's dreams and threatened superiority, but ultimately caused the opposite to happen. They actually caused, inadvertently, I mean, obviously through the hand of Hashem, Yosef to become Viceroy and be in a position of power because he was ultimately in Egypt. So too, onlookers from Bnei Yisrael thought Pinchas should be killed for his treacherous act of killing a tribal prince. But Hashem assured them it was just the opposite. Hashem was going to raise him up and glorify him. What Pinchas did reserved reward, not condemnation. And Hashem therefore pointed out the chen, the words chet nun, which is the inverse of the word nach, meaning rest. Chazal teach that one who receives chen, chet nun, is pointed out as a chut shel chesed, a string of chesed. Now, the Netivot Shalom teaches that not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestow upon Pinchas chesed through the gift of giving shalom, but Pinchas' actions, in a sense, were also shalom. On the surface, it seems like his actions are pure din, it's judgment, right? Like, he did something wrong, I have to stand up, I have to kill him. However, why did Pinchas do what he did? He did it to save Bnei Yisrael. 24,000 Jews had just died in a plague, and many more to where to follow. He risked his own life to save the fate of many Jews, physically and spiritually. He did what he did for them. Therefore, what may have seemed like an act of din, Hashem knew was really actually an act of chesed. The Netivot Shalom prefaces this by asking the question, if Hashem gives rewards measure for measure, how could Hashem give an act of chesed as a reward for an act of din, judgment? So the answer is, Mida Keneged Mida, Hashem actually repaid chesed for chesed. Now, I actually heard a different explanation earlier this year that because corresponding din for din would have led to a bad chain of events and Mida Keneged Mida and Overa Gevurah Avera, Mitzvah Gevurah Mitzvah would have led to Pinchas having to kill other people. Again, that's a whole other topic for another way and a different way of looking at this. But the way we're understanding it is that what Pinchas did was really a chesed, and it was to create shalom amongst the people and to stop this craziness that was going on with the Midianite women in Baal Peor. So he actually, what he did was a chesed, and Hashem paid him back in kind with chesed and shalom. In life, we must strike a balance, whether it's tiferet, whether it's yisod, whether it's right versus left, it doesn't matter. We must stand up for what's right, even if it's not popular, or even, God forbid, may cost us our lives. We stand for the truth. We stand for emes. But it's Hashem's truth, not necessarily our truth. We must stand up for what Hashem tells us is right and just, and help us to disseminate to the world the Torah values, and Hashem's emes. And emes runs from Aleph to Tav with Mem in the middle, as Chazal teach. We need the whole gamut, but we also sometimes need to focus on that Mem in the middle. In order to make the truth stand out, we have to weigh both sides. In order to understand what is really true and what's MS, in addition to looking into the Torah, we have to think of things from both perspectives and be able to darshan. We have to be darish the way, I mean, obviously, Chachamim, Gedolim, commentaries, or sages, teachers, leaders teach us how to do it. But in general, we have to strike a balance and look at both sides and find what the Rambam calls the Derech HaZahav, the Shvil Zahav, the middle path. I mean, yes, sometimes we need to go more to the right. Sometimes we even need to go more to the left. And it depends on the situation. But in general, we want to balance ourselves as much as we can, that even though we want to fight for Hashem, we want to fight for what's right, it doesn't mean we should be prone to anger and be hateful and lashing out at everybody who does what's wrong. At the same time, we don't want to be super lackadaisical and say, everybody can do what they want. We're not going to get involved. You really need some kind of balance in between. So that's something, food for thought. Also, regular contributor, I want to thank my friend Isaac Kotlicki for helping in a couple key gaps in the Torah. Shabbat Shalom.